First, Fixer checked out the Ramada Inn, east of Indy. As he walked in, the window facing the street shuttered. A second gust of wind made the plate glass quiver, and the sound was like the rolling flap of huge banners above a football stadium. He was hoping it wasn't a bad omen. The big man at the counter turned toward the noise. A flurry of fat raindrops added to the wind's brief attack on the window as Fixer moved toward the counter, shaking rain from his jacket like a wet dog. Fixer forced a smile at the big man, and he commenced with the social graces. Fixer said, "Have you seen Lizzie today?" "Out back, taking a break." Fixer leaned in and whispered to him, "A break from what?" The big man shot Fixer a look that said, "What do you think?" Fixer said, "Oh," and dropped the subject. When Fixer walked out back, there was Lizzie Bourdain, sitting behind the hotel on an old milk crate, smoking a cigarette and rubbing her shapely feet. Once upon a time, Lizzie Bourdain had been one of the hottest exotic pole dancers on the Indy Strip. Fixer had heard she wanted to be a famous porno star. He'd heard that she got screwed 10 times a day, but she still hadn't managed to get screwed on film. She'd keep trying, he was sure. She'd always been a very determined woman. Each night, she would allow herself to be mounted by human hogs who dribbled saliva onto her bare back while they ejaculated smelly sperm into her tight, wide ass in exchange for enough money to eat at McDonald's and buy a pack of smokes and a six-pack. But now, entering her early 30s, she was on a slow burn, her flame soon to be extinguished by the younger competition. She had bleached blonde hair, an acne-scarred face, and a gap between her teeth. About the only thing she had going for her was the fact that she had nice legs and a nice tight ass, and she was excessively hefty between her collarbone and sternum. She was one deep breath away from giving herself a pair of black eyes. On the other hand, he thought that kissing her thighs would have been like eating candy. Maybe he was a dirty old man. He kept that thought to himself. He smiled and said, "Hey, Lizzie, long time no see."
"Fixer! Whoa, dude, you're looking good,"
she said, almost falling over. Fixer said,
"Thanks, Lizzie. Is there anywhere we can talk in private?"
She flashed that gap-toothed grin, and he found himself pitying any man foolish or horny enough to let her polish his knob.
"Handsome, this is as private as it gets,"
he sighed. "Go on, I'm listening." He looked around at the all-too-familiar surroundings, a dirty alleyway, reeking of stale booze and garbage and puke and piss and death. It was where he'd spent far too many nights long ago. She coughed and said,
"Like I told you on the phone, all I heard so far was some crazy bitch sliced off her old man's tool and robbed his house."
"It was his testicles," Fixer said.
"Say what?"
Lizzie said with a dumb expression on her face.
"I said it was his balls she cut off, not his tool, and we already knew that."
She said, "Well, handsome, that's all I know." Fixer knew that was coming. It was all the same. A lot of cash for little useful information. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a wad of $20 bills, peeled off a couple, handed them to Lizzie. Her eyes lit up like a Christmas tree.
"Oh, yeah, I do remember one more thing," she said.
"Imagine that," he said, lighting a cigarette. "Go on, I'm all ears."
"Word on the street has it that the same crazy bitch that tried to pull a Lorena Bobbitt on her old man hangs out at the Slit Thing Club. You know, likes girls. Has an old lady named Ashley."
"The Slit Thing?"
"Slit, you know. Like a woman's..."
He waved her off. "I got it. No explanation necessary." He tossed his cigarette on the ground and stepped on it.
"You sure that's all you know?" She said, "Sorry, babe. That's it for now. But if you leave me your card, I'll let you know if I hear anything else."
Fixer sighed and peeled off two more 20s and forked them over. "There's my green card." With a big smile, Lizzie disappeared down the alley, no doubt on her way to her drug dealer's place or the corner liquor store, maybe both. As he watched her go, she seemed to vanish when she reached the sidewalk, like a ghost, as though she'd never been there at all. Just another one of the walking wounded, the missing ones, the expendables, the lost children of the night. He knew that feeling all too well.